The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, December 1st through Sunday, December 7th, 2025. The commentary for December was written by Dorothy Sanders Wells, who serves as Bishop of the Diocese of Mississippi. Committed to working for racial healing, justice, and equity for all of God's people, she was a lawyer for many years before leaving the practice to follow God's call to ordained ministry. She and her husband, Herb, have two daughters. The commentary for Monday, December 1st, begins as follows with a passage from Matthew chapter 4, verse 22. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And this day is the day we commemorate St. Andrew the Apostle. Here's the commentary. I like to imagine Jesus walking along, seeing Peter, Andrew, James, and John diligently fishing and smiling as he calls them to leave behind the lives and work they've known to follow him, just as they are, taking the gifts they've already been given. I wonder what these men thought as they followed him, if they were fearful or felt certain and affirmed. When I walked away from the office where I'd practiced law, leaving a life I'd known for nearly two decades for seminary, I didn't or couldn't know what was ahead. But I remember the awe and anticipation I felt. What was this new thing God was doing with me? Who was I that God should invite me to such a holy calling? What gifts had God given me that I would be called to share with the world in a different way? The coming of Advent each year reminds me that God is always doing a new thing and giving us new opportunities to grow in grace. We need only to be willing to follow fear and awe in all. And now I'm going to read the full passage of today's gospel from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And the moving forward question for this Monday, December 1st. How can you recognize and follow Christ's new work? The commentary for Tuesday, December 2nd, begins with a passage from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12a and verse 15. Therefore, I intend to keep on reminding you of these things, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Summers meant visits to my mother's family homestead, where great aunts and uncles, still going strong in their 80s or 90s, shared stories. Some were difficult for them to tell and difficult for me to understand. They remembered enslaved ancestors, They remembered wrongs suffered upon them in the Jim Crow South. Some of those stories were repeated many times. No doubt my relatives needed to convey just how important they were by repeating them and re-emphasizing the details for my young listening ears. Their storytelling always included stories of faith, trust in God, and how God had sustained them on their journey. They spoke of a God who had never failed them. And even if I didn't realize it then, they taught me faith in that God, too. And while there are times that I wish I had recorded their voices, I can still hear their words in my head and know their truths in my heart. Now I'm going to read the full passage from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 21. Therefore, I intend to keep on reminding you of these things, though you know them already and are established in the truth that has come to you. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to refresh your memory, since I know that my death will come soon, as indeed our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. And now the moving forward question for this Tuesday, how well do you share the stories of your faith? Now we'll turn to Wednesday, December 3rd, the day on which we commemorate St. Francis Xavier. It begins with a passage from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10a, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief." When I was a young child, I played a game with my father while he showered after work each night. In the hallway outside the bathroom, I made animal sounds, and he would bellow out to me, "Who's that?" and begin guessing about the sounds of cows, sheep, horses, dogs, pigs, and cats. Well, one evening, my father came home while my mother and I were grocery shopping. As he showered, burglars broke into our house. My father heard a noise and bellowed, "Who's that?" from the bathroom, thinking my mother and I had returned. The startled burglars left the house, having taken virtually nothing, and more importantly, not having harmed him. When my father came out, he realized what had happened. He told police that the game he played with his little girl might just have saved his life. Thieves were unwelcome guests in our home that night, interrupting our family's sense of security. Imagining the day of the Lord will come like a thief reminds me of that night and leaves me with a sense of fear. But I hope to meet this unexpected coming as my father met that unexpected break-in with a well-practiced loving response. And now I'll read the full passage from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when He is revealed, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And all who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He was revealed to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him sins. No one who sins has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. Everyone who commits sin is a child of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born of God do not sin because God's seed abides in them. They cannot sin because they have been born of God. The children of God and the children of the devil are revealed in this way. All who do not do what is right are not from God, nor are those who do not love their brothers and sisters. The moving forward question for this day: how might you prepare for the coming of the Lord? Now for the commentary on Thursday, December 4th, the day on which we commemorate John of Damascus. It begins with a passage from Matthew chapter 21, verse 40. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? Here's the commentary. My great uncle was a farmer and hired hands to help him with his harvest. One summer day he rode around his property on his horse. From a distance he saw a man who was not one of his employees out in the field. The horse's slow trot turned into a quick gallop as my great uncle closed in on the man. He yelled, demanding to know why the stranger was stealing his crops. The stranger pleaded, claiming he was trying to get food for his family. My great uncle furiously told the man to leave. As the man ran away, my great uncle turned to the other workers in the field, demanding to know why they were allowing someone to steal his harvest. The workers were silent. We rode away. That afternoon, my great uncle was quiet. In the years since, I've thought often about that day. I wonder if my great uncle felt betrayed by his workers who didn't move to stop the man. And I wonder if he regretted his actions, if he wished that he had allowed the man to help himself to some greens. Sometimes we are the owner of the vineyard. Other times we are the tenant. In all, we seek to do Christ's will. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Matthew 21, verses 33 to 46. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds, because they regarded him as a prophet. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, what does it mean to you to be an honest hand? Now the commentary for Friday, December 5th. That's the day on which we commemorate Clement of Alexandria. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 9. "Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone to find to the wedding banquet." That is, everyone that you find to the wedding banquet. When a couple called off their wedding, the bride decided the $30,000 deposit for a lavish sit-down dinner reception needn't go to waste. She contacted local organizations to find out how unsheltered neighbors might be able to enjoy the gourmet meal and a fancy evening out. She arranged for buses to transport the guests from shelters to the venue, and she even arranged to have some clothing items available in case the guests wanted to dress up for the occasion. The guests were, of course, free to decline the invitation, and they were free to refuse to join the feast or accept the festive clothing, even after they arrived at the venue. Isn't the choice to accept the invitation to the true king's banquet always ours, as is the choice to clothe ourselves in the love of Christ and obedience to God's commandments? How do we show our gratitude and praise to a gracious and generous God who invites us again and again to join the feast? And now I'm going to read the full passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. "Once more Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again he sent other slaves, saying, "Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Well, those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.' And the moving forward question for this Friday, how can we choose today to clothe ourselves in the love of Christ? The commentary for Saturday, December 6th, the day we commemorate St. Nicholas of Myra. This begins with the verse from Amos in the Old Testament, chapter 5, verse 24. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. On this day, we remember Bishop Nicholas of Myra. One of the better-known legends involves the 4th-century saint rescuing three traveling students who had been entrapped by less-than-honest innkeepers. Lured by greed, the innkeepers seized the opportunity to take the students' money and belongings and then decided they needed to kill the students to keep their theft hidden. Fortuitously for the students, Bishop Nicholas showed up on the scene, freeing them before their captors could do them further harm. Bishop Nicholas became known as a patron saint and protector of children. The legend doesn't end with Bishop Nicholas saving the students. He invited the dishonest innkeepers to repent, seeks forgiveness, and atone for their actions. In one version of the legend, the innkeepers choose to follow Bishop Nicholas. These legends remind us that the work of redemption continues even after justice has been served. And now I'm going to read this full passage from the book of Amos, chapter 5, verses 18 through 27. Alas, for you who desire the day of the Lord, why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light, as if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear, or went into the house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, and the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Did you bring to me sacrifices and offerings the 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You shall take up Sakuth, your king, and Kaiwan, your star god, your images which you made for yourselves. Therefore, I will take you into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. And the moving forward question for Saturday is, in what ways do you seek justice this day? And now, as we near the end of this week and the end of this program, we turn to Sunday, December 7th, the day on which we commemorate the second Sunday in Advent. It begins with a passage from the book of Romans, chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of my fondest memories are from times I spent in rehearsal and performance with my college choir. Much of our repertoire was sacred, and I was introduced to amazing musical settings of Scripture. I learned from 4 years of working with our enormously talented conducting professor that my first God language is music. Music is for me prayer and praise. Last year I sat in on the rehearsal of another college chorale ensemble, led by a longtime conductor and organist friend. The first Two pieces were ones that I've known and loved since my college years, and I was able to join in singing the rehearsal even without a musical score. The music and scriptural texts are etched in my soul. For that hour, a group of college students joined many musicians who had come before them, learning the meaning of working together in holy ways to glorify God. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Romans chapter 15, 4 through 13. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.